Man, good morning. I love that song. Jeremy, I love it. I'm telling you. It was a song that I remember singing at a very key and important time in my life. We found that song, discovered that album during the middle of COVID when we were shut down, and I was, you know, pastor of a church and working at a university and, you know, not seeing any of my people and were nervous, concerned. Anyway, that song was very powerful, ministered to me in a lot of wonderful ways, so I love to sing it. This morning, though, there was a time in my life, like right after, and you guys probably remember this, but right after I became the pastor here of this church, maybe in May after I became the pastor here, I got really sick and I had COVID and I went into the hospital for 3 days. And I don't know if any of you guys remember that, but I do, because that was not fun. Okay, but I was really sick. I was in the hospital for 3 days and it was kind of scary. And after I got out of the hospital, Amy and I were like, "Hey, we've got to make some changes. We got to do some things differently because we need to just be healthier, you know, in our lives." And so so we kind of made some changes in our lives and tried to be healthier. And one thing that I realized at that point in my life is that, like, if I keep doing the same things that I always do, then I shouldn't expect for any of the results to be different, right? So if I feel like I need to be healthier, the only way to do that is to actually change some things about my life in order to be that. If I keep going to Crumble Cookie, you know, like I did last night, if I keep going to Crumble Cookie over and over again, I can't expect that my health or my life is going to be any different, you know? And, you know, this time of year, and I don't know what it is, I think it's the new year, but around this time of year, all of us, we're kind of taking stock of our lives, kind of looking at the past year, and we're kind of thinking to ourselves, you know, what are some ways that we want to be better in the new year? What are some things that we hope will be different in the new year? And so we're kind of all processing this, and that's why we have New Year's resolutions and everything. If you're like me, you've spent from October the 31st through the new year just absolutely, you know, doing damage to yourself, you know, eating everything that people put in front of you, you know. And so you get to the new year, you're like, I need to change some things. I need to be better. I need to do some things differently. And here's the deal. It's amazing because we think about that in every area of our lives, right? We think about it with our physical health. We think about it with our emotional health. But you know one place where we often don't consider our health is in our spiritual life. And our spiritual life is just like our physical life, our mental, emotional life in a lot of ways, right? If we want things to change, if we want things to be better, there are actual practices that we need to institute in our lives in order to be that. If we just keep doing the same things the same way we've always done them, then we shouldn't expect to grow or be any different or be any better, right? And so that's what this series is about. This series is about you and I taking stock of our spiritual lives. The truth is that a lot of us are pretty spiritually unhealthy, if we're being honest. You know, a lot of us have not been paying very close attention to our spiritual health. And so maybe this year is the year where we decide, you know what, we're going to be better. We're going to do things differently. We're going to make a difference in our spiritual life. If you play a sport, If you want to run a marathon, right? If you'll have a goal, you have a purpose that you're shooting for, you know? And then you have practices, you have drills, you have exercises that you do at different levels of intensity to try to prepare you for whatever that goal is that you're shooting for, whatever that purpose is that you're shooting for. And so if we're going to talk about being spiritually healthy, we've got to talk about what does spiritual health actually mean? What does it mean to be spiritually healthy? And if we know that, then we can kind of figure out what we're going to do, okay? So the good news is that we're going to get that word from Scripture, all right? So I want you to look with me, if you would, at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it talks about how all of humanity was created, and it actually lists our purpose as creation right there in that passage. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, here's what it says. It says, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." So there it is, right there in one sentence. And there's a whole lot of stuff there that we can unpack, and we don't have time to do it all today. But what we see in this passage is that our purpose was to bear the image of God. The reason why God created humanity was to bear His image, to reflect His image into the world. And we were also created, if you keep reading in Genesis, you'll see we're also created for unbroken communion with God. Our purpose in life is to bear God's image right? And to live in unbroken communion with God. That's why we were created. And so for you and I, what that means is all of our lives should be about how do we do that better? How can we be better at that? And all the practices that we operate within in our lives should be about how do these help and shape me into being that kind of person, all right? Those of you who know me, you know that I married way out of my pay grade, right? I punted my coverage. So I've been married to Amy for a lot of years, all right? We're not going to talk about how many because that's going to age me, and I don't need that right now. So, we've been married for a lot of years, and I'm super excited about that. But I want to ask you something. What kind of marriage do you think I would have with Amy if I never really spent any time hanging out with her, spending time with her, talking to her at all? You know, the foundation of any relationship, right, is connection. You've got to build a relationship by spending time with one another, by listening to each other, by talking to each other. And if we have a relationship where we're just kind of two ships passing in the night, and I'm not really ever speaking to her or listening to her or trying to get to know her better, you know, we've been married almost 30 years, and still my job and my privilege is to get to know Amy better, to get to know more about her. And an honest interaction is the foundation of any relationship. And I want to suggest that one of the reasons why some of us may be really spiritually unhealthy this morning is because we don't ever really spend time in communion with God. We don't really talk to God. We don't ever pray. And I got to just be honest with you, right? Prayer is not easy for me. And I'm a pastor, okay? So admitting this to you is a big deal, but prayer's not easy for me. This is going to come as a shock to you, but I have ADD pretty bad, okay? And I just kind of bounce around. So anytime I'm spending time like in silent prayer, I'll try to quiet my soul, and I'll begin to reach out and just talk to God, try to listen to God, and immediately I start to think, I wonder who the Cowboys are going to start at cornerback this week, you know? And it becomes a really, then I've got to figure that out. You know, it really kind of takes over my mind. Or I'll start to think about my kids, or I'll start to think about something I've got to do at work. And before I know it, I'm completely sidetracked my mind. And so I spend most of my time when I'm in prayer trying to corral my mind, right? So that I can focus and so I can spend time with the Lord. And so prayer is not easy for me, and I'm sure it's not easy for many of you, but it's absolutely vital. Every time I was hanging out with Amy, if I was spending time thinking about other things, if I was spending time wondering about other things, if I allowed myself to be distracted when I was in her presence, I wouldn't ever get to know her, and we wouldn't have much of a relationship. It'd be unhealthy. The Pew Research Center actually did some research on this, and I found these numbers pretty interesting. A survey in 2021 found that fewer than 50% of Americans, 45%, pray every day. That's down from 58% that prayed every day in 2007 and 55% in 2014. So the numbers are really going down. But here's the thing. They included every possible thing that you might consider prayer when they were doing this. Prayer to anyone, at any time, in any way, right? So for those of us who maybe once a day when we're eating a meal, we're like, God, thank you for this food, right? Right? That's prayer. That would be daily prayer, and according to this research. So that doesn't really count like time spent really communing with God, right? They're just counting everything. And fewer than 50% of us who call ourselves Christians do it. And that's kind of a big deal for you and I. And something that we really need to be thinking about and talking about. That means many of us in this room don't spend time daily interacting with God. A lot of us have problems praying. Here's what Dr. Richard Foster said. He wrote a book called Celebration of Discipline. And it's a fantastic book that every Christian, I think, ought to read. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, these practices are inspired by what he wrote in his book. But he said this about prayer. He said, to pray is to change. Prayer is the central avenue God uses to transform us. If we're unwilling to change, we'll abandon prayer as a central characteristic of our lives. And it could be that you and I are spiritually unhealthy. It could be that we're not growing or advancing in our relationship with God just because we're not spending time with Him. So what does the Bible say about it? Well, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus actually gives his disciples some teaching about prayer. And many of you have heard these passages of Scripture before. But we're going to talk about some things first that prayer is not, okay? And then let's talk about some things that prayer actually is. And maybe that'll help us to become more regular and more active in our practice of the discipline of prayer. So Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. Here's what the Word of God says. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that's all the reward they'll ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. So the first thing that we can know about prayer is not about us. Prayer is not about us. Anybody, do any of you guys have, don't raise your hand, but does anybody have one of those friends who they love to post like pictures of their most recent date with their spouse or their significant other or the most recent vacation that they went on, and they're like constantly posting about the dates and stuff? First of all, sometimes you just want to, you get mad at those people, but like, look, you're setting the bar really high for me. Could you please dial that back a notch or two? But sometimes, like, I've actually known people who they love to post pictures of their most recent date or their most recent vacation or whatever it is, but I know them, and I know that even though they're going and doing all of these things together, sometimes they're not actually speaking to one another or talking to one another or interacting with one another. A lot of what they're putting out there on social media is just so other people will think that they're really happy and that they've got it all together and that their lives are super perfect. But in reality, what's going on behind the scenes is not that at all. Right? They're not really connecting. They're just wanting to put the image out there that they are. Some of us, that's how we're living our spiritual lives. I mean, we all of the things that we're doing are really for public show. It's really for other people to look at us and think, man, that guy's really got it together. And I need to be honest with you, as a pastor, this is a real temptation for me. I mean, my job is to pastor this church. It's normal, natural for me to want for you guys to think that I've got it together when it comes to my spiritual walk. And it's a real temptation for me to want to put on a show for you, right? But prayer is not about that. Prayer is not about me. Prayer is about the Lord God. And when I try to make it about me, when I'm doing prayer, when I'm engaging in any spiritual practice, any religiosity, that's really the focus of it, is really to make other people think a certain way about me. That just compounds the unhealth and the toxic stuff in my life. That's not what God wants for me. It's not what God wants for you. So if we really want to make a difference in our lives, we need to spend time every day alone with God. We need to spend time praying God's word and allowing God to speak to us through Scripture, because it's not about us. It's about God actually changing our hearts. That's what we should be focused on. And so when I talk about praying God's word back to Him, let me tell you what I've been doing. And I want to challenge you to do this. Look at Psalm 139, verse 23. It's going to be up here on the screen. I'm going to challenge you to pray this prayer to the Lord God every day, okay? To pray it and to mean it. What if we said this to God every day? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. What if we ask God to do that every day? So if you want a starting place where you can make prayer not about you, right? Then I challenge you to pray that. Pray that to the Lord God and see how He answers that prayer. So prayer's not about us. But here's another thing about prayer. Prayer is not a utility. Prayer is not a utility. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. So here's the thing. In the ancient world, religious practice was often about trying to convince the gods to not destroy you. That's what it was. So you would go and offer sacrifices, you would perform religious rites, and the whole point of that was to try to convince the gods to not destroy you. Maybe you might try to convince them to do something that might bless you, but that's what all of religious practice kind of revolved around. And so all of the things that you did, if you worshiped any kind of religion in the ancient world, it was all about trying to appease the gods. It was totally utilitarian. It was all about a purpose, trying to get the gods to bless you. And what Jesus is saying is that in this passage is that's not what prayer to Almighty God, the Lord of heaven's armies, that's not what prayer is for us. That's not how we interact with him. It's not about utility. It's not about trying to prevent plague or pestilence in our life. The point of it all in Christianity, the point of it all is not utility. The point of it all is relationship. We get to pray. We have the opportunity to pray, to commune with God. All of religious practice in Christianity is all about us knowing God. It's all about us living connected to God in relationship with God. That's the purpose. And that's what we understand next when Jesus begins to teach his disciples in verse 9. In the book of Luke, the disciples actually come to him and say, "Hey, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray?" And he responds with this prayer that all of you have heard. If you played football, you said this prayer right before every football game, right? That's just how it goes, right? But in verse 9, this is what Jesus says. He says, pray like this. He says, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy." And so the first thing that Jesus wants for his disciples to understand is that prayer is about knowing God. That is the point of prayer. And so if you want to know somebody, though, here's the thing. Back in the day, I was on the BSM executive team whenever I was in college. And that meant that I directed the BSM drama team. And one of the things that we did, BSM, for those of you who don't know, Baptist Student Ministries. Some of you might think that if my middle name was Stephen, that would be Bradley Stephen Miles, but it's not. It's not named after me. Baptist Student Ministries team. And we set up the youth, the freshman retreat every year. I remember this day like it was yesterday. I was sitting at the table, and I was checking all of the new freshmen in to the Baptist Student Ministries retreat. And in walked this one young lady who was clearly amazingly gorgeous and beautiful. And when she walked in, I was like, "I don't know who you are, but I promise I will know. I want to know," right? And y'all, I spent the next several weeks trying to spend time and get to know this young lady. Let me just tell you, I was super successful because she married me. So praise be to God, right? But as soon as I saw her, I thought to myself, "I need to know you." But here's the thing, if I wanted to get to know Amy, right, the way to get to know Amy is not to just walk up to Amy and start spouting stuff to her about myself, right? It couldn't be about me. If I really wanted a relationship with Amy, I had to ask Amy things about herself. I had to try to get to know what her likes were, what her dislikes were, like what kind of person she was, what family she came from. I had to spend time with my focus being on her. That wasn't hard. It was easy for me to focus on Amy because she was beautiful and she's amazing, right? But here's the thing. So many of us in our relationship with God, we don't understand this basic truth. Jesus starts this prayer off by saying, "Our Father," the focus is on the Lord God. Our eyes should be directed on him. We should want to know him. We should be opening ourselves up to who he is, to his character. And so many of us, when we pray, if we pray, it's all about us. It's all about what we want from God. And to be honest, many of us approach prayer. We approach our Christian lives much like a person who is involved in a pagan religion in the ancient world would have practiced it. We're just trying to get God to do nice things for us. That's our whole point. Friends, it can be about so much more than that. Prayer is about knowing God. And so we place our focus on God. We turn our eyes toward God. We got to acknowledge who he is, his authority over us. And when we do that, prayer connects us relationally to God. We discover God as our good Father, God as our as exalted over us. We discover God as holy, and we want to spend time with Him. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. Prayerfully reflect on Scripture that describes God, that depicts God's character. And if you use the YouVersion, the Bible app on your phone, and if you've gone to the events and you're looking at the message notes that we have in the Bible app, there's actually a reading plan in there that that will give you, it's based on all the names of God. And so I would challenge you, a reading plan and a prayer plan where you can focus on the names of God in Scripture, you can focus on His character. I would challenge you to do that. Prayerfully reflect on the character of God and spend time praising God for who He is. So prayer is about knowing God. But listen to this. Prayer is about surrendering our will to God's will. What does Jesus say next in verse 10? He prays this. He prays, "May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus wants for us to be laser focused on the kingdom of God. We're supposed to actively engage in the work of the kingdom. Richard Foster, who I quoted earlier, he says this in that book, Celebration of Discipline. He says, in prayer, in real prayer, we begin to think God's thoughts after Him, to desire the things He desires, to love the things He loves, to will the things He wills. And that's what prayer is supposed to be about. If we're going to have a relationship with God, we have to bring our desires, our plans, our will for the future. We've got to bring those to Him and lay them down and ask Him to give us what He wants to give us, what His plan, what His desires are. Prayer is about surrendering our will to God. Remember what Jesus prayed the night before He was crucified. He said, "Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me." But then what did He say? "But not my will, but yours be done." And when we come to the Lord of Heaven's armies in prayer, we come asking Him to make His will and His desires ours. Some of us have trouble praying because we don't want to do that. We know what we want, and we want what we want. We don't want to turn our desires over to the Lord. And I can tell you, there's a way to live where we don't do that. There is, but that way is empty, and it leads to death. The way to life, friends, is to lay our hopes and our dreams and our desires down before the Lord God Almighty, and to receive from Him what He desires to give us, which is way better than we could achieve or ask for or even imagine on our own. So I want to challenge you, bring your desires before the Lord. What do you want for your life? What plans are you making? What are you working right now to purchase? What are your dreams for your family? Bring them all before the Lord. Tell God about them. How about this? Ask God if those things, those desires, are even the desires that He has for you or for your family. Ask Him to replace those things that you desire that are not His desires with what He desires for you and for your family. I challenge you to do that. I've worked to try to do that in my own family. Let me just tell you, if we do that, if we really do it, honestly do it, God will answer that prayer. And it won't always be easy, and it won't always be comfortable, but it will be God's best. Prayer is also about trusting God with our need. Look what Jesus prays next. He says, "Give us today the food we need," in verse 11. This one, guys, is really hard for me, okay? And I just want to be honest with you and admit this to you. This is really hard for me. The reason is because it seems like a simple prayer, right? Give us the food we need for today. But here's my problem. My problem is that I am not super great at admitting my need or my weakness or my failure to anyone. I don't want people to know that. I don't want for people to know when there's something that I'm missing in my life that I need. I don't want for people to know when I have failed, when I have fallen short. I don't want people to know that. Right after he says, give us today the food that we need, what does he say? He says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. So here's Jesus saying, look, you bring your need to God who is able to provide for all of your needs. You bring your failure to God who is able to forgive and able to heal and able to restore. You bring it to him. But my problem is I don't want anybody to know that stuff. I have a hard time being vulnerable. I have a hard time admitting my need. And let me tell you something that I've learned. And guys, I've learned this the hard way over the course of a lot of years. But listen to me. This is so important. There is no such thing as intimacy without honesty and without vulnerability. You will never be close to anyone if you cannot admit to them the ways that you are weak, the ways that you are broken, the ways that you fail. And I think there's some men in this room who, like me, we want for people to respect us. We want for people to think good things about us. And so we just pretend like everything is okay all the time. And we will do that even with those people who are closest to us. And we wonder why we're not experiencing intimacy with our spouse or intimacy with our children. We wonder why we don't have close, intimate relationships. And the reason is because we're not ever letting anybody see who we really are. There's no way to have a real relationship unless we're willing to do that. And there's no way to have a real relationship with God unless we're willing to bring to him the ways that we are broken and the ways that we are failing. It's a safe place to bring it to, because listen, God loves you. God wants to restore you. God wants to heal you. God wants to forgive you. If you'll bring those things to him, he will provide for you and he will heal you. He will restore you. It's a promise that he gives us in his word. And I'm standing here this morning as a living testimony to the fact that God can take whatever, however needy we are, however broken we are, God can take us and he can provide for us and he can heal us and restore us. I'm telling you, if he can do it for me, he will do it for you. It's a promise we have in his word. But unless we're willing to break the barriers down and be honest and vulnerable before the Lord God, we're not ever going to be able to have the relationship with him that he desires for us to have. And some of us, that's the breaking point. That's where we need to be restored and healed. It's time to be honest with the Lord. It's time to spend time confessing to God the ways that we failed. It's time to tell God how we feel. Here's the next thing. Prayer is about it's submitting to God for protection. Verse 13. Jesus prays, "Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." And look, y'all, yielding to temptation, that's just what we do. We do it over and over and over again. All of us, every person in this room is in need of rescue. You don't need for me to tell you this, because I know there's folks here this morning who you have been working really hard to try to put your life together, right, to try to build a life. And what you've discovered is the more you try to work to put your life together, the more you try to work to build your life, the more of a disaster you tend to make it. And I know there's someone here this morning that is exactly where you're living. And the truth is, if that's where you are, I don't want you to feel like you're alone. You're not. I have been there. I am there a lot of the time. Left to my own devices, I am a dumpster fire. And that's just the truth. God Almighty heals. God Almighty restores. God Almighty rescues. Yielding to temptation is what we do, and we need rescue. We are incapable of rescuing ourselves. When you get sick, you know, When you're running a fever, when you have a major illness, right? What do we do? We go to see a doctor. Why? Because a doctor knows how to treat the illness to help us to get better. But in our lives, when we're doing things that harm ourselves and harm the people that we love, so often we just keep trying to manage it on our own. We just keep trying to figure out a way to manage our brokenness. And friends, the truth is we will never be able to do it. We cannot rescue ourselves. God alone is rescuer. And prayer is about submitting all of that to the Lord, admitting that we need Him and asking Him to save us. My cousin Shane was a fly fishing guide in Alaska. And so the only way you could get to this place where he was a guide was you had to fly into it, right? And people would fly up there to this river in Alaska, and he would take them fly fishing for a week. And you know, the people that would do this, a lot of times these were some super wealthy people who would be coming with their friends. They would spend a week up there. And so Shane said it was a lot of fun, but it was also really challenging because the problem with the groups that he would take fishing is every person in the group felt like they were smarter than him, you know? Even though they'd never been on that river, even though they never fly fished before, right? They'd never been to Alaska, but they knew more than he did, right? So he would tell them, look, when we're out here fly fishing, you need to stay where I can see you. Don't get down the river. You've got to stay close to me, right? And we'll fly fish together. He would always tell them that, right? And so one day he's out fly fishing with a group of guys. He looks up, one of them is missing. He's like, well, great. Where did that guy go, right? So he goes tromping down the river. He goes around a bend in the river, and there's the guy out in the middle of the stream, fly fishing, just as happy as you please. He wasn't satisfied with being down there where everybody else was fishing. He needed to find his own spot. What he didn't realize was on one side of the river were a couple of baby bear cubs, and on the other side of the river was their mother, right? Shane knew about looking and making sure that you were in a safe place when you were fishing. This guy didn't. He thought he did. Thought he could manage it. He thought because he had some money in a hedge fund, right, that made him capable of deciding where to fish in the river. But guys, as soon as we laugh at a person like that, though, we have to understand that's who we are. That's who I am. I think I can manage the river. I think I can figure out where I need to go. I think I can discern where are the safe places and where are the unsafe places. And time after time, over and over again, I place myself right in the crosshairs of danger. Don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God is our rescuer and our protector. And prayer is about submitting ourselves to Him for that protection. Some of us this morning, it's time for us to just admit it. We've been trying to do this on our own, and we can't do it. And it's a daily process. We would go before the Lord, and we say, Lord, I need you today, because if I do this on my own, I'm going to walk into dangerous places. I need for you to guide me. I need for you to rescue me. That's what prayer is about. And some of us are unhealthy in our spiritual lives because we never do that. Acknowledge your weakness to God. Ask God to give you strength. And articulate, like say out loud, that you're submitting yourself to Him. So listen, have you drifted from God this morning? Are you trying to like rock along in your relationship with God without really spending any time with Him? Is your practice of Christianity more about how people view you and see you from the outside more than it is your actual relationship with Christ? If that's where you are this morning, you're not alone. Many of us are there. And those of us who aren't there this morning have been there. And what we know is this: if we will call out to God, He is faithful to rescue us. It's who He is. It's His character. We can know God. We can know Him not philosophically. We can know Him relationally this morning. And He's inviting us, the Lord God of the universe, to spend time with Him. Will you accept His invitation? Here's what we're going to do. The worship team is gonna come up here, and we're gonna just spend some time in worship this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you need to just repent to the Lord. Maybe you need to say, God, I'm sorry for neglecting you. I'm sorry for not spending time with you. Would you please forgive me? And maybe some of us need to just say today, we're going to start this new year. We're going to start this new year. We're going to commit to spend time with God in prayer. And so today's the day that you're going to make that commitment. Maybe that's where some of us are. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you've never really surrendered your heart and your life to Christ. Your practice of Christianity is all about going to church. And it's all about hanging out in church or spending time learning about the things of God. But you've not really surrendered your life to Christ. You're not really allowing the Lord to guide and lead your life. And I just want to say that if that's your experience of Christianity, you're missing the main point of it. What God really wants is God wants to put His Spirit in you. He wants to cause His name to dwell on you. He wants for His presence to be in you. That's what God wants to do. But in order for that to happen, you've got to surrender yourself to Him completely. And maybe somebody needs to do that today. It's a super easy thing to say. It's a little bit harder of a thing to do, but here's what it is. We say to God, God, I need you. Please rescue me. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. And if you would say that to God this morning, I promise you, you would say it and you'd mean it. God will cause His Spirit to dwell in you. He will cause His name to dwell on you. You will begin a relationship with the God who spoke the universe into being. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you need? Isn't that why you're here? Isn't that why you're watching? That's what God wants to do in your life and in my life today. So how do we respond? How will we respond to Him? Stand up. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for your presence with us this morning, for your Spirit. God, we need you desperately. Speak to our hearts. Convict us. Show us where we are broken and we need your healing. It's in Jesus' name we pray.